Okay, so a couple things. This the choice of David over all his husky brothers. David was a kid. And yet, the text says that God chose this kid over these more likely candidates. Which says what? That God sees not the way we see, but as God sees. And God presumably knew that this kid would grow up, kill Goliath, and as one great Jewish scripture scholar said, became an oversexed bandit. You may remember the famous instance of David and Bathsheba. He looked at this lady bathing naked on her roof because all the roofs were flat and David had a higher roof than anybody else so he could eyeball whatever was going on. And presumably God was aware that this guy would be a massive flop, failure. But then we have that magnificent Psalm 51, which is supposedly David's cry of lament. So I think this is important for Lent because we look to God for forgiveness for ourselves. This great big story from John, of course, the linchpin of that, John did this all the time, or whoever wrote this gospel, that he would create these great big stories to illustrate a single point, and the single point was, I am the light of the world. So you get all these blind people, this blind man. And by the way, they thought that mud was therapeutic. I think some people still think it's therapeutic. If you go to Czechoslovakia and take mud baths, I understand this, it'll be very healthy for you. But that was standard therapy for diseases. They'd make mud and hope that the mud would cure diseases. But it's, I am the light of the world. It is crucial. So the Gospel of John was written around the year 100, so several generations after Jesus had been killed. We know it was edited several times because there are multiple hands evident in the text if you read it carefully. But there's still, even at the year 100, so the temple was destroyed in the year 70. The Romans came in and busted up everything. But even 30 or 40 years later, there was still this terribly contentious relationship between Jesus, or the followers of Jesus, and the Pharisees. Again, the Pharisees were the good people. Pharisee means pure or separate because of their virtue. Okay, and as usual, it is Jesus who's hoisting them on their own petard, by saying, you guys don't know anything. And the reason for your blindness is that you think you are not blind. It was the point of the whole exercise, I think. I don't think I'm blind. One of my sons in the past week was delivering a big political speech to me. He said, well, there's the left and there's the right, and I compare and I see everything. I see objectively. Oh, man. You're not going any place. Because nobody sees objectively, except God. But we all enjoy the illusion that we do see objectively. We see things in the round. And so that's why John, or whoever wrote this, plays this story out at such great length. Was he blind? Yeah, he's blind. Well, how can he see now? And then the big contestation between Jesus and the Pharisees, who disappeared. This was 30, 40 years after the Pharisees had disappeared from the scene. They left after the temple was destroyed. So the thing we have to hang on to is this pivotal line, I am the light of the world. And the main point of that illusion, I don't want to say illusion, but the main point of that statement is that we could be jolted into seeing that we are blind. I I walk around in my little calcium case on top of my shoulder and say, oh yeah, it's all right. I know all that stuff out there. I don't. That's one of the few benefits of growing old. You become more and more aware of your myopia. How little you see, how little you understand, which would lead to humility. It hasn't done too well in my case, but it's supposed to do that. So again, we have the Lenten practice of what? Self-examination before God. Not before my neighbors or my husband or my wife or my buddies or whatever, but before God. Because the vision of all these other people is lopsided as well. You know? I hate to keep hammering on Donald Trump, but Donald Trump is astonishing in many ways. But he's also astonishing in the fact that he has surrounded himself with an echo chamber. Now his daughter, Ivanka, has moved into the White House too. Has her own office, you know. His son-in-law is one of the big bosses, sits in on all the diplomatic meetings. Donald goes to Nashville to have another rally. He'd been elected months ago, yet he has to have that amount of self-congratulation that redounds from all these people. And of course, in the wake of the failure of his revised healthcare thing, he blames other people. I didn't do it, these other guys did it. They messed me up. It's like normal reflex. Normal reflex. So it's an object. I bring him up not just to be nasty. I hope it's not just to be nasty. But you see the danger. You see the danger of self-righteousness writ large in this man who doesn't apologize, who doesn't make mistakes. And we all have that tendency. We're all little Trumps. I'm a little Trump. And everybody I know is a little Trump too. But to the extent that I inhabit this self-enclosed world of perfect vision, I exclude the real world and I exclude God. So again, the point of Lent is to help us begin to see more clearly that we do not see as God sees, that our vision is always flawed, and this should be a stimulus to deeper prayer. Augustine again, Lord, let me know myself, let me know you.